Moolala is brought to you by the nonprofit credit counseling agency, Credit Canada. Welcome back. Moolala, Money Made Simple, is brought to you in part by Credit Canada. I am the CEO of the organization, and we are Canada's longest standing nonprofit credit counseling agency. Our mission is to help people get out of debt so they can get back into life. Listen, debt is a brutal reality for millions of Canadians. It starts to pile on for lots and lots of different reasons: job loss, divorce, illness, bad luck, you name it. Our accredited credit counselors are available to help you understand your current financial situation and take you through all your options on how to move forward. And there really are options out there. So go to creditcanada.com. We are nonprofit. As I said, the counseling is free and judgment free. Credit scores, credit scores, credit scores. We talk about credit scores on this show a lot, and we talk about them because they can be so important to your financial life. Not just the basics about getting a particular credit card or qualifying for a mortgage or an installment loan, but even so far as how they can affect your ability to get a job. They are important. What we don't spend a lot of time talking about, and we should, and we're going to correct that today, is things like, how did the credit rating system become such a huge part of our lives? Where does it go wrong? What are the challenges with the system? Emily Barron-Cadloff wrote this piece in The Walrus, and I was fascinated by it and insisted that she join us to talk about it. Emily, hello there.
Hello.
You began your piece with a story about a woman named Angela Monahan. The credit bureau assumed she was dead when she was very much alive. What impact did that have on her?
Angela was at a Canadian Tire and wanted to apply for a credit card from the store. She couldn't. And so she was sitting on a piece of patio furniture at the Canadian Tire on the phone to TransUnion when she learned that they thought she was dead. And her credit score was effectively wiped to zero because dead people do not have credit scores. And that took almost 2 years to clear up. And so in that time, she could not open any new credit products. She could not get a new mortgage. She could not work with anyone who needed to check a credit score, which obviously threw her whole life into disarray. But what was especially troubling for Angela is that, in fact, it was her husband who had died. Mm-hmm. And the credit bureau had mixed the two of them up. And so every single month when she went back to TransUnion and said, please fix this, she had to continue to let them know about her late husband. And so it was a very painful process.
Now, as tragic and ridiculous as this story is, mistakes happen. What I don't understand about the story, and maybe you can illuminate this, is why it took so long. Like, there she is. She is a human being. She's got financial records. She has ID. She is living and breathing and talking to them on the phone. Why did it take 2 years?
That is a question that Angela herself had many times. And so the answer that she was given is that because the credit score and an algorithm is automated, it is not a human being. She's a human being, but it is not a human being that is manually calculating people's credit scores. It is an automated algorithm. And so a person at TransUnion might go in and fix her notification and check the box that says this woman is alive. But the next month when that credit report comes in, that algorithm can override it because it was an automated system. And so it took a long time for them to sort of get far enough back, I suppose, in the code, if you want to think of it like that, to really fix the problem at the root.
I was the victim of identity theft this past year, and I saw my credit score plummet in a week. It took me 4 months, and that seemed ridiculous because basically it was like, it didn't happen. My identity was stolen. Fix it. In your research, how common is this? I'm sure you heard lots of anecdotes. Did you get any stats?
No, and that's part of the problem. We know that there are lots of issues, things like you sure, identity theft, but even things like your name is spelled wrong, or perhaps you're listed at an old address instead of your current address, that sort of thing. And we sort of know anecdotally that this happens all the time. But one of the things is because credit bureaus are legislated at both federal and provincial level, but generally provincially, there are different bodies that are getting different stats. So we know, for instance, that like Ontario might have received 10 complaints last month, but we don't know if that's all of the problems or just those 10 people called in to complain.
I know a lot about the system today because it's relevant to my work, but I know little about the history. It's just an is. It's always been this way. Part of your article goes into the history and the evolution of the credit bureaus in North America. What did you find about where the purpose changed, where things shifted that might illuminate why it is so complex and problematic today?
That's a great question. And the history itself is vast. And I would encourage your listeners to read Creditworthy by Josh Lauer, which is a book that I read a lot for this piece and interviewed him for. I think one of the big points is that initially when credit bureaus were first forming, it was really when cities were starting to industrialize and get bigger. And so it was impossible for individual shop owners to really have the same kind of personal relationship with people as they may have done previously. So they started getting credit managers to keep track of people and whether or not they would be trustworthy to get credit for the tailor shop or the baker or whatever you might have. And then those credit managers started to band together. One of the things that I think shifted is rather than just going, oh, does this person pay me back on time for the loaf of bread that I baked? Those credit managers started noting things like, does this person go to church? Does this person drink alcohol? Does this person cheat on their wife? Whoa. They started noting everything, all these kinds of personal details. And so credit really has a history of very subjective and biased reporting on credit. Now, obviously, I want to be clear that current day credit bureaus do not track those things. But we can see a pattern in who might have been able to accumulate generational wealth, right?
And where it is relevant today is in some of the biases that exist because of living circumstances, for example. So you spoke to Keith Martell of First Nations Bank of Canada. We've had him on this show. Mm-hmm. What are some of the things that he highlighted that are disadvantages for Indigenous communities?
Right. Keith had some great points. I think the thing that was most interesting to me is that one of the biggest things that can impact your credit score is getting a mortgage. It's likely the biggest purchase that most people will make in their lifetime, and it has a huge impact on your credit score. If you live, say, on a First Nation, on a reserve within Canada, that you oftentimes, not always, but often, don't actually own your house in the same way that you might if you had a mortgage in, I live in the middle of Halifax. So it may not work in the same way if you lived in the middle of Halifax. The First Nation itself owns the house and you pay the First Nation. So you may not have a traditional mortgage. Thus, you may not build your credit score in the same way. And then it can again perpetuate this system of inequality.
Now, is there any energy from any part of the regulatory or political bodies that serve Canada to make change to the way this system works? Or is it as intractable or determined as which side of the road we drive on?
I could never say that it is as determined and intractable as such a thing. Who's to say? What I can say is, yeah, there's some grumbling, there's some noise, but it does not seem at this moment that this is a particular issue that it has a lot of fire underneath it. I would say certainly for people like Angela or other people who have had to deal with these systems, Absolutely, there is cause for change, and there are, grassroots groups and different, sort of individual activist groups that would absolutely push for change. Mm. Whether or not we're going to see it in Parliament tomorrow, that seems unlikely.
Well, I think the answer is no. Answer is no.
Seems unlikely. Yeah.
One last question before we go. When we think about our data, and certainly there's a breadth of people's sensitivity around their personal data. If you don't want your data to be used by social media, don't go on social media. You don't want it to be used by internet search providers, don't go on Google. When it comes to your credit score, that information is all reported behind your back. You don't know. How concerned does that make you about privacy and security and?
Well, the unfortunate thing is that if we want to exist in this society as we do, we really can't avoid it. So there is concern. I mean, certainly these credit bureaus, Equifax had a major breach of privacy and millions of pieces of data were leaked. That happens. But the alternative is you use only cash, you live outside of the system, you have zero credit score, and then you cannot do things like buy a plane ticket anymore because you can't do that in person in cash. So like it would drastically impact my life. So while there is concern with this stuff, at this point, it feels a little bit like it's a concern that we may have to live with unless something drastically changes. And what that thing might be is has to be transparency. That's the thing. The system needs to be more transparent so that we know that what this data that they're collecting is and how it's disseminated.
Yeah. Well, Emily, I really appreciate you taking time to join us to talk about what you learned about the black box that is credit scores.
Thank you very much for having me.
Emily Barron-Kadloff is a journalist who wrote this really great piece in The Walrus about the history of credit scores, some of the problems that that are not uncommon in that world, and maybe some ideas on what could change down the road.
Hi, it's me, your debt. Look, we need to talk. This isn't working. The missed payments, the collection calls, and all those sleepless nights. We need nonprofit debt counseling, and I found the perfect place. Credit Canada Debt Solutions. They're non-judgmental, 100% confidential. They'll negotiate with creditors and even stop interest. Don't you want to rebuild your credit? You deserve better.
Break up with debt. Visit creditcanada.com.